Sounds good. Thank you. Hi, I'm Hasnat. So back in March, Microsoft shipped kind of a security patch which have impacted some of the NAS servers and like for, clustering scenarios for third parties. The thing we discovered was that back till March, we were not authenticating the authentication request generated by a server and sent to a DC properly. So that was a bug in our code base, and we fixed that by making sure that when the DC receives a authentication request from a server, we validate the server name in the challenge message that was originally put in by the server. So what that does is that it makes sure that the server name in the challenge message corresponds to an account name of the machine that the DC knows about. Now, this creates a problem sometimes for solutions where when the server itself is generating a challenge and it adds a name which is not the account name known to the domain. So it can add the DNS name as opposed to the actual account name. And every time that happens, the DC just can't validate or verify who the server is. So the whole idea is that we can eliminate or prevent man-in-the-middle attacks by verifying the server. So in cases like these where third-party solutions just don't add the account name as a server name in the challenge message, the simplest solution or the fix would be to take a fix on the server side, not the client side, to add the server name as the account name when you're generating the challenge message that is sent to the client and eventually that routes back to the DC.
But the DNS name also exists.
Well, no. So the problem is, this is an NTLM pass-through, right? So you have a client talking to a file server, right? And it's doing NTLM, right? Then the server does net log on, generic pass-through, using the NTLM information. The problem is that there's a name mismatch, right? So like if you read the protocol docs, you wouldn't notice this because the protocol docs, this is how you would do the validation, and there's a bug where they didn't. So in NTLM, there's the target name of the server, right, who you're trying to go to. In net log on, there's an account name field, right? And that's what the secure channel validator is against. And so if you specify in the account name, right, something that doesn't match the target name, once you're patched, the DCs will say, these aren't the same thing, denied, right? So they have to match. So the principal that NTLM is trying to talk to through the target name has to match the account name of the principal that net log on is using. And that's what the bug is. And the reason that we saw this in NAS devices often is because there's multiple names, right? So there may be a name that you're using that isn't the account name that for some reason was, you know, placed in the account name field, right? And it just worked due to a bug.
So what would be your suggestion for clusters environments using different physical computers using the same DC account name? Actually, it broke since this patch released. It broke the clusters environment when authenticating users using NTLM SSP.
So I know that there was some discussion back where the scenarios with clusters wanted to relax the validation such that we can match parts of the name as opposed to the full name. The problem with that solution is that the moment the DC relaxes the validation on the name itself and just verifies part of the name, we open up to the same kind of like problems we had before the patch. Mm-hmm. So the only fix going forward, two of them. One would be to have account names on the DC side of all the machines or the account name you're using so they can be validated. That's like one option if we have to live with NTLM. And the other solution or the possible venue is that scenarios like these could potentially move to a different kind of better protocol mechanism such as Kerberos. But of course, that's a much more invasive and lengthy process.
Okay, thank you.
You can also create a service account, right?
Yep, and like Windows.
In a cluster environment, you can just create an application account that is shared across all the computers.
Yep, and so like, I mean, like Windows clustering has a computer object, right, that is the cluster array's actual principle that it can use too, so.
I have a question. This is regarding infrastructure of AD. So how can I set up a resource group and resource groups in AD? You know, so we had issues in the past where we're not able to parse correctly, but to test it, we want to, but I didn't find a good way to actually set up a so that in Kerberos, you know, the DC gives resource group and sits in the token.
Okay, so I'm going to ask clarification, right? So when you say resource group, are you saying domain local security groups? Is that what you mean?
I'm not really sure what that is, you know. I mean, in the Kerberos pack, right, you have a, you know, primary group RID, then additional group SIDs, and then there is a additional group, the whole SID is there. And then in addition, there is something called a resource group domain, and then resource group RIDs within that.
Right.
So I would like to know how we can set up AD such that for a user, I can get those in the Kerberos pack.
Okay. That's why I wanted to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So in an AD infrastructure, there are three different types of groups, right? There's universal groups. Four different types of groups. There's universal groups. There's global domain global groups. And then domain local groups. And then there's well-known groups, or SIDs, right? How that translates in a Kerberos pack or a NetLogon data structure is that, and it changed in, I think it was 2012 or 2012 R2, but prior to that time, we put all the groups either in other or in the account domain, right? And then when we had the new feature, resource SID compression, we started using the resource section. So for one thing, you need a domain controller that knows how to compress, right? Because the earlier DCs will just do those two sections. If the third section is empty, it's because of only one reason, that you don't have a domain controller that knows how to do resource groups compression, because you always have at least one. I can't imagine any scenario where you would not have any domain local groups at all for an individual. I mean, if you want that populated, you will create domain local groups, and you will populate either the individual user or a global group that it belongs to or universal group that belongs to as a member of that domain local group, and then that section starts populating. We're waiting for the mic, so.
Thanks. For a device that acts as a proxy, right? So where serve as an authentication endpoint for like SMB sessions? And the way we accomplish this is to Kerberos constrained delegation.
Okay.
Now this might be more of an SMB question, but I'm gonna ask that anyway. Now in the SMB 3.1.1 world, suddenly to do this, we have to also participate in the pre-auth integrity.
Yeah, you're talking SMB speak to me. The only pre-auth integrity we have in authentication is the validation of the secret, right? Proof of position. So
I guess my question is that for us to work, we have to modify the session setup because we're
quite possibly. Like I said, I'm not familiar with SMB, but Daryl is.
Yeah,
so
just a second. So just a little bit of familiarity, having listened to this many times, and we do have some pretty good items in the presentation. And also, I'll give you a reference afterwards to the SNIA presentation, which also went through a lot of this. But Tom did at least mention it briefly, and Obed did in his presentation. But I'll give you the pointer to the one specifically at SNIA from this fall, because it actually walks through this integrity checks and for the signing process, which is actually applicable to both the signing and encryption. So that is the SMB 3.1.1 security, and it's specific, as you said, to the session setup. So we'll go through that, referring to those presentation items. And just for the note here in the recording, yes, it's covered well in both the SNIA presentation by Greg Kramer, and then also, I believe it's covered fairly well by Tom Talpe in his presentation that he did present here the other day. But let's go through that offline.
Was that from last year's senior?
Actually, yes, it was in September. Because they actually had SMB 3.1.1 basically previewed even by that time.
Right.
So that capability changed only, there was a minor modification, but the concepts were very much applicable.
Okay.
So for SMB signing.
I can follow up with
you. Yeah. Yeah, Obed's actually, he actually presented on that too in his over the wire discussion. Here you go.
Hi, thank you for coming. So the previous year we talked about ARM Kerberos and security things that you reviewed and improved. And one of the challenges was, like you were saying, how to verify that the machine account credentials are actually using from the machine. So the question is, like, is there any things coming up around that, any extra security thoughts that you have for 2016 that will be coming up?
Yeah, too? I mean, 2016 is when I'll be, well, one of us, will be back to talk about different technologies, because the protocol stuff, you need both the domain controller and client updated, sometimes the server. And so the domain controllers don't come out until next year. So a lot of our protocol stuff at this point is still kind of experimental, if that makes sense. And so I don't like presenting to you guys if we're going to change it, because then you may start acting on that. Well, not if I change it, right? It's great if I don't change it, which is why typically, you know, my rule of thumb is I don't talk about things until they're done, or what we consider done, right, where they're not going to flex, right? But in that space, the thing that we do have that is completed, but didn't seem like enough just to come talk about, is in Windows Server 2012, we added support for domain join machines to have certificates for logon. And the way that worked is that was a platform feature that was an opportunity for third-party vendors. So what they would do is they would create an agent, because it was under the concept of maybe health attestation or something like that, that they would create an agent that gets a certificate for the machine and then unlocks, right, to provision that certificate in it. And there are a few vendors that have stepped into the space and have some sophisticated attestation technologies. For this release, since we've been kind of working on credential theft issues over time, what we've added, and you can see it in your Windows 10 devices that are domain joined when they have Windows 10 DCs. So like I said, now nobody sees it because there are no Win 10 DCs yet, is that the machine, if it has a TPM, or it has what we call CredGuard. If you've seen, there's lots of presentations about CredGuard that people have made both at TechEd and Ignite. I guess it's Ignite now, Ignite and other things. But those are hardware-bound technologies. So basically, if the device understands that I have a way to hardware bind my private key, it will go ahead and create a sign-on key. The reason it needs a Windows 10 domain controller is it uses a new feature in Windows 10 DCs, which we call key trust, right? So today, if you're using certificates and you want, you know, key trust, I'll say loosely with quotes, you have to do the AltSec ID mapping. I don't know, this may be way over the head for a bunch of you, but for the few of you that get it. And what that does is it explicitly maps this certificate to this user, right? Generally, the way it works is that whatever the UPN name in the SAN, if you can find the user through that name, I call that implicit mapping, right? Because it's not explicit. Basically, if this name I can find a user, then we'll use that for auth. The explicit technology is you literally have to touch the account and make that relationship. In Windows 10, we have something called Key Trust, and the great thing about Key Trust is it brings Kerberos into a space where now you can use certificate technologies without having PKF all your clients. You still need, it's still like TLS, you need to have a trusted issuing CA for the KDC certs, because, I mean, you just have to know that that's a KDC and that's trusted. You can't get around that. At least so far, I haven't seen any getting around that in the security space. But the clients now can just have keys, right? And so for Windows Hello, there's a complex infrastructure to provision that key for users. For devices, it's pretty straightforward, because the nice thing is a device only exists once, right? So if I'm a computer, there's only me. I have my key. There's no reason I should have more than one key. So we can provision against a Windows 10 DC our key. And then at that point, we can do public key. And then, of course, you can do rich access control checks for that key and things like that. That's about all we can do in this release is we're laying kind of the foundation to build on. So, like, first, if I can get keys, hardware-bound keys on all the machines, then I can build the other technologies that can assume you have a hardware-bound key and use that. So, like I said, this one's kind of a mini step so far. And so we've seen that, and, you know, we've seen some issues. Of course, you put new technology, so we fix some bugs in that space as we've seen issues. But so far, it's working out great. I mean, as long as you've got the hardware to bind it, the key gets provisioned. It gets provisioned in AD. You know, it gets replicated through AD. It is an optimistic thing. So, like, if I try and sign on and my key doesn't work, I'll try password. Because, like I said, at this point, we're just trying to get a bunch of keys out there. There is a registry key you can set on the device to say must use. Probably don't want to do that yet because you need all Win 10 DCs. Well, the problem is, if for those of you that are old-timers like me and did the dynamic access control things, the problem with that is when you have not all your DCs upgraded, sometimes your clients go to the craziest DC in the world in order to auth, right? So that was one of the problems we have with that kind of limited infrastructure is if the device has to find the latest DC in order to authenticate, it will find it, right? Hopefully it's in your site. And then if it's not in your site, the problem becomes which site will you go to? And so it could be any site, right? And so, like I said, we got a lot of feedback from that back in the dynamic access control days that when they put, like when they had devices in DC-less sites and stuff, they would find them like going halfway around the world to find a Windows 10 DC rather than finding the closest one to it, right? So that would be I would caution you to flip that knob until you have enough DCs. And then, of course, if there's no Windows 10 DC, you can't log on with that setting, right? Because it's like Kerberos armoring, right? For Kerberos armoring, if your domain doesn't support armoring and you say I have to only talk to armored domains, I can't go there, right? So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right, well, I think we went 5 minutes into somebody's presentation, so.
That's not a problem. We have time, so and this is important. Security. Thank you for coming over, by the way, because as many of you know and you follow in the industry, security is becoming more and more and more pervasive. It's in demand. It's generating huge demand in the world of the cloud, and it's become very important. So one thing that Mitch Code reminded me of before is that in the Ignite presentations recently, which are available, go to channel9.msdn.com and go to there's an event channel for Ignite, and I sent this link to you in your emails for the event, but there are a number of presentations on security, and of course I'll refer Tim Raines when he came and talked to us about the threat landscape at the beginning of this PlugFest. So yeah, be aware of the things that are happening, disregarding even the protocols, the side of multi-factor security and the way Windows 10 that Michiko mentioned briefly is dealing with security. It is changing, and so hopefully these will be helpful changes for you. So thanks again. If you have questions about security, do bring them up. Also, Yu Qing will be presenting here just shortly on some testing that we've got some tools available for this purpose as well. Thanks.
Thank you.